Welcome along to our quickfire round of your questions answered when it comes to sustainable public transport. I'm joined by Fergus Sharkey of the SEAI. Fergus, you're very welcome along.
Thanks, Ned.
Now, a lot of the questions that we're getting in on this topic are to do with looking to other countries and what they're doing in this whole area. Now, we do think of the Amsterdams and the Copenhagens maybe, but when it comes to European countries, what can we look to that might help us with developing our public infrastructure?
Yeah, so there's a lot of exemplars out there in Europe, and we are the most car dependent, or second most car dependent country in Europe. I suppose pretty simple. It's a large investment in public transport to make it reliable and cost effective and available to much wider cohort of our population. We need to think about how we develop our towns and cities and compact development in mind. When we design things with cars in mind, then we get cars. We need to design them with active and public transport in mind. And we need to make it a bit more difficult to use your cars in the urban environment. So that either means congestion charging would be an example from around Europe, or it means, you know, making it expensive to drive into city centres, removing car parking from city centres. That's what's been done around the rest of Europe, really, to drive down emissions from transport.
We have a question asking, what incentives does the government offer to get more people using public transport? I suppose one of them is making it cheaper.
Yeah, so the government, I think, reduced transport fares by 20% for most people. I think 50% for younger people. They've extended that out, I think, for 2024 now to cover more people. So yes, it's making it more cost effective. That's resulted actually in record numbers on public transport over the last number of years, and a significant rebound post-COVID, which wasn't seen elsewhere. The other thing is changing the proportion of investment between roads and public transport. And we've seen that also occur over the last number of years, not just public transport, but also active travel. So it's getting more public transport, making it more reliable, which does need investment, making it more affordable, and also making active transport options available. You know, integrated and segregated cycle infrastructure, really, really important factor.
A question on how challenging our plans are to get people on public transport. You know, lots and lots of people don't think it's for them, or certainly can't see a way of using it in their everyday lives. How long will it take, is this question, to improve all of the options available?
So we need to start out with what's realistic. You know, everybody would like to have a metro from their door to the door of their work, but there's work to be done to increase the amount of public transport options available and make them better integrated. But also we see it in rural infrastructure. And we've seen success here that the local link buses have gone from 10,000 journeys per week in 2018 up to 70,000 journeys a week in 2023. So we've seen that it can be done and become more a viable option both in urban environments, but also in our rural environments.
I live in rural Ireland, says this questioner, and I rely on my car from getting from A to B. I'd like to cut back on driving and change my transport habits. What are my options?
So your options are probably threefold. You can use your car for part of your journey as opposed to the whole journey. So can you actually drive to a local train station to actually get you into that city centre that you might need to get into to do shopping or to socialise, etc.? You can change your car to an electric vehicle. That's going to have a much lower environmental impact. And unless you really are rural, electric vehicles with 400 or 500 kilometre range are going to get you wherever you need to go and back, most likely, without any need to charge from outside your home. So you've electric vehicles as an option, but also just look at where you can integrate public transport, even into part of your journey. It doesn't necessarily need to be from your front door unless you have it relatively available near your front door.
And of course, you have also the option of taking a fold-up bike or a little e-bike or scooter in the boot of your car and using part of that for your journey.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, this questioner is wondering how she can convince her partner to give up their second car.
Well, don't convince your partner, make a family decision about it. So do you need a second car as a family? I think a lot of people have this quandary because a car costs about 10,000 euro a year to run, your average typical car. So that's a big amount of money coming out of your pocket after tax for a family. So what are the alternatives? Do you really need it? Can you actually replace some of those journeys with an electric bike or an electric cargo bike to run the kids to school? What are your alternatives? And also, how often do you need that second car? Because I've done it. We're 6 years now with one car. And when we need a second car, we have either rented one or we have used the likes of Go Car. There's 3 cars available in Skerries that I can actually use by the hour. And that's hugely less expensive than owning a second car with all that entails.
So how much on average could I expect to save if I switch to public transport? So you were talking there about the cost of running a car. So you're going to save some of that.
Yeah. So if you can actually switch, completely remove one car from your life or your car altogether and move to public transport, you're going to be saving yourself, you know, thousands a year. If you can just switch some of your journeys, you're going to be saving the fuel costs and the depreciation and the wear and tear on your vehicle. So there is a cost saving. I would say if you can absolutely get rid of one car, you are easily talking about a 5 or 10,000 euro saving in your life a year. That's a significant amount. That's, you know, almost a life-changing amount. Think about, you'd have to earn 20,000 more to take home that amount.
And also a lot more than you'd need to replace it with an electric bike.
Exactly. And I really, the joy of an electric bike cannot be understated. It's all the fun of cycling without any of the hassle or any of the pain. An electric bike with a child seat is very viable. An electric cargo bike can carry up to 4 children. They are in themselves a relatively big investment. They're kind of 5,000 euro plus for an electric cargo bike. But you're not insuring it. You're not paying maintenance costs. You're not paying fuel costs. It's effectively a couple of euro a month to run it in terms of charging it. So they are hugely viable options for people if it can replace those short trips, you should.
My thanks to Fergus Sharkey from the SEAI answering our quick fire questions on sustainable public transport. If you'd like to listen back to the full episode where we are joined by Professor Brian Caulfield from Trinity College Dublin as well, then you can do that on 180 degrees wherever you get your podcast from, or check out seai.ie/podcast.